It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. After a year of doing this show and you guys loving it, we've created a way to give you even more Dark Side content. How? By you becoming a Dark Sider. That's a supporter of the Dark Side of Wikipedia. When you become a Dark Sider, you get advanced access to our episodes months before they're released to the public. So if you want more to binge away on, this is the way to get it. In addition to the advanced episodes, you also get our archive of episodes, and all of it is commercial free. So if you like the show and you want to listen without the pesky commercials, become a Dark Sider. In addition to all of that, we're also now giving final chapters to all of our new episodes. That means you get to hear an extra chapter of the story and discussion, usually an extra 15, 20, 25 minutes of content for each episode that we're calling the final chapter, which is exclusively for Dark Sider members. The reality is, this show is not free for us to create. It takes a lot of time, effort, and money to put it together. So if you'd like to be part of the Dark Side of Wikipedia, support us and keep us on the air, and in exchange, get all of those extras, please become a Dark Sider. Do it by signing up at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. It's only $5 a month, and you get access to everything I just talked about. Check it out today, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider, and help keep Dark Side of Wikipedia alive. A man of many names, King David, Moses, David, Father David, Dad, or Grandpa, but to many of his victims and those outside of his insanity would know him as David Berg, leader of a cult that has been accused of a broad range of crimes and misconduct. This is a story of what he created and eventually destroyed through his misdeeds and crimes. Today on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
David Brant Berg, also known as King David, Mo, Moses, Father David, Dad, or Grandpa to followers, was the founder and leader of the new religious movement currently known as the Family International. Berg's group, founded in 1968 among the counterculture youth in Southern California, gained notoriety for incorporating sexuality into its spiritual message and recruitment methods. Berg and his organization have subsequently been accused of a broad range of sexual misconduct, including child sexual abuse. Berg often said that his rich heritage played a key role in his shaping his character and religious convictions. Many of his forefathers, as well as both of his parents, were deeply committed to Christians. Some of them were members of the Dunkards, a conservative offshoot of the Church of Brethren. State persecution of the sect drove the Brandt family of Germany to America, where they settled in Pennsylvania and Ohio around 1750. His maternal grandfather was Reverend John Lincoln Brandt, a Disciples of Christ minister, author, and lecturer of Muskogee, Oklahoma. Born John Lincoln Brandt, Berg's grandfather had a dramatic conversion in his mid-20s, and he immediately entered full-time Christian service. For years, he was a Methodist circuit rider. He later became a leader of the Alexander Campbell movement of the Disciples of Christ, a restoration movement that developed into the current Protestant denomination Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Berg was born on February 18, 1918 in Oakland, California. He was the youngest of three children of Haldimer Emanuel Berg and Reverend Virginia Lee Brandt. Both parents were Christian evangelists. His father was Swedish. David Berg's mother, Virginia Brandt Berg, is the individual whom he credited for influencing him the most. Although raised in a Christian home, Virginia became an atheist and wild society girl during her college years. However, shortly after the birth of her first child, she broke her back in an accident and spent the next 5 years as a bedridden invalid, often hovering near death. Eventually, she recovered and spent the rest of her life with her husband, Haldimer, in active Christian service as a pastor and evangelist. Virginia and Haldimer were no strangers to controversy. They were expelled from the Disciples of Christ after publicly testifying of her divine healing, which was contrary to church doctrine. They subsequently joined a new denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, shortly before David Berg's death. In a later year, their missionary zeal and disdain for denominational politicking often set them at variance with the conservative faction of that church's hierarchy, causing them to work largely as independent pastors and evangelists. David wrote that he was physically abused by a German nurse and sexually abused by a Mexican babysitter when he was aged 3. David Berg spent his early years traveling with his parents, who pursued their evangelical mission with a passion. In 1924, they settled in Miami, Florida, after Virginia successfully led a series of large revivals at the Miami Gospel Tabernacle. This became Berg's home for the next 14 years, while his mother and father were pastors at a number of Miami churches. As is the case with many pastors and their dependents, the Berg family depended entirely on the generosity of their parishioners for their support and often had difficulty making ends meet. This instilled in Berg a lifelong habit of being frugal, which he encouraged his followers to adopt. So that's kind of the beginning of the David Berg story here on the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like the program and you'd like to get access to all of our advanced episodes and final chapter segments, we invite you to become a Darksider at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia and help keep our program on the air. Tony and Carol with you today. Thoughts so far on Davey?
Well, it's a really weird story for me because I know someone named David Berg. And so every time you say that, I see my friend. It's like, it's just kind of weird, so I'm having kind of a hard time focusing on it.
Sure.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, like, this I think could be a very interesting story. You know, because around that time, that era, there were a lot of people who had these, you know, starting new religions was a big thing because there was money to be made in that. And so there was a lot of bizarro kind of religions that started, and most of them didn't take off. But, you know, it's just, you know, people were, but it's kind of like that today. You know, you hear of people, we talk about them all the time.
Sure.
People starting up stuff and just for the money and taking advantage of people. Now, I don't know where this particular story goes about my friend, David Berg, but we'll find out. But I'm not familiar with this story at all.
It's an interesting one. I think I got hooked over the weekend on a docuseries. It was like a People magazine talk about cults or something like that. And it was just like 12 episodes all about cult leaders. And cult leaders fascinate the hell out of me. I don't know why it is, even more than murderers. I mean, sometimes they end up being that too. But just something about that, or the ability that some people have to just suck people in.
Yeah, because some of them too are so bizarre. Like, how did you believe that?
Yeah.
And then some people, even on the other side of it, they're like, I don't know how I believed that, but I did. So it's really an interesting, because it's psychological. It's not like, you know, one guy being crazy and killing people. It's about these people convincing other people to be crazy. But all in the name of religion.
Yeah.
So the people who are following them are probably doing it for the right reasons. You know, they think they're being closer to God or whatever it might be. So that is a very strange dynamic. And it takes a very charismatic person to be able to do it.
It does. It's and some get thousands of people. Some get, you know, three or four at a time. And then you make music videos and get trapped in the closet. My mind's telling me no. But my body's telling me yeah. I forgot what he says next.
And you're right. You're right.
I don't see nothing wrong. Yeah.
You know, because in like a case like, you know, R. Kelly, like you're not even just, it's not just about women. It's the other people around them and their families. Like you control all of that and convince all these people that your motives are one thing when they're another.
I know. And it's scary that that people have that ability sometimes to do that. And but the thing is, once you're in, how do you ever say, okay, how do I get out?
And that's hard too, especially if you're, you know, it's because you're so convinced. In religion, you're convinced that if you leave, you know, you've made God mad or whatever. So that'd be bad. And then, you know, if you're in some kind of weird abusive relationship thing, those are really hard to get out of because they've sucked everything out of you. And, you know, like we've talked, you know, in the last few weeks, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about a cult. And, you know, like they take everything you have because then, you know, in an abusive relationship, the same thing. So you don't have access to money. They've taken your money. Everything you earn goes to them. How do you get out? You know, it's not like you have money to go buy a bus ticket or anything. You've got nothing.
I know.
And then you're convinced too, because they've separated you from your family. So a lot of times you think, well, my family, well, look at Scientology. They don't even like them to talk to their family.
Yeah. No outside influences. And yeah. And that's why a lot of them start, they cut those things out, because eventually somebody's going to be like, wait a second here. This is not what you're making it out to be. So, anyway, let's continue into the story of David Berg, your neighbor. In the late 1930s, Virginia Berg returned to her favorite ministry, that of a traveling evangelist. David Berg accompanied her and for the next 10 years acted as her chauffeur, song leader, and general assistant. David Berg graduated from Monterey High School in 1935 and later attended Elliott School of Business Administration. Like his father, Berg became a minister in the Christian and Missionary Alliance and was placed at Valley Farms, Arizona. Berg was eventually expelled from the organization for differences in teachings and for alleged sexual misconduct with a church employee. In Berg's writing, he claimed the expulsion was due to his support for greater racial diversity among his congregation. Fred Jordan Berg's friend and boss allowed Berg and his personal family to open and run a branch of his Soul Clinic in Miami, Florida, as a missionary training school. After running into trouble with local authorities for his aggressive disapproval with evolution being taught as fact in public schools, Berg moved his family to Fred Jordan's Texas Soul Clinic in western Texas. David Berg founded the organization called the Children of God, the Family, also known as Teens for Christ, in Huntington Beach, California, in 1968. It was later known as the Children of God, the Family of Love, or the Family, and is currently the Family International. Berg called on his followers to devote their full time to spreading the message of Jesus' love and salvation as far and wide as possible, unfettered by convention or tradition, and to teach others to do the same. Berg also decried the de-Christianization and decay of moral values in Western society. He viewed the trend downwards. A new world order is setting the stage for the rise of the Antichrist. Berg lived in seclusion, communicating with his followers and the public via nearly 3,000 Mo letters. Mo from his pseudonym Moses David, that he wrote on a wide variety of subjects. These typically covered spiritual or practical subjects and were used as a way of disseminating and introducing policy and religious doctrine to his followers. His writings were often extreme and uncompromising in their denunciation of what he believed to be evil, such as mainstream churches, pedophilia laws, capitalism, and Jews. And he always admonished the reader to love the sinner, but hate the sin. He espoused doctrines that mainstream Christians denounced as heretical. However, his followers argue that in his writings, they are permeated with the love of God. Berg had been in hiding since 1971 and died in November 1994 in Portugal. He was buried in Costa da Caparia, and his remains have since been cremated. After his death in 1994, his wife Karen Zerbe, a.k.a. Maria Berg, led the family, and there were 6,000 adults, 3,000 children, as members of the family worldwide in 50 countries. There were investigations of the family for child abuse and prostitution in Argentina, France, Spain, Australia, Venezuela, and Peru. David Berg has been accused of leading a cult which promotes assaults on children and sexual abuse of women and children for decades. Former members have told their stories widely disseminated media reports, though official inquiries at the time found no evidence of child abuse. Berg was also personally accused of pedophilia. He recalled in letters how he was taught to masturbate in church by another boy his age. When his mother caught him, they were forced to masturbate in front of his father. Oftentimes, Berg would explicitly describe his sexual preferences and recalled that one thing he regretted was he never slept with his mother. Wow. Well, there's one of those.
What was that again?
One of his largest regrets was that he never slept with mom.
I don't even know how to respond to that. Like, was he saying that to get attention, or does he mean that?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with he means
that. Would you really say that out loud? Like, who are you who could just say that out loud?
Yeah.
That's strange.
I know. It is, it's probably one of the craziest things that one would ever hear. Like, what's your regret? Mom, we didn't get it on. Like, yeah, okay. Thanks for the interview. I appreciate it. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's weird. Is bizarre.
Well, that whole last little bit there was really weird.
Yeah. Let's continue into the story here of David Berg. In a child custody case in the United Kingdom, Berg's granddaughter, Mary Berg, testified that Berg sexually molested her when she was a young teenager. Another of Berg's granddaughters, Joanne Treadwell Berg, spoke on American television about being sexually abused by David Berg. Berg's adopted son, Ricky Rodriguez, wrote an article on the website movingon.org in which he described Berg's sexual activity involving a number of women and children. Davida Kelly, the daughter of Rodriguez's nanny, Sarah Kelly, accused Berg of molesting her in a June 2005 Rolling Stone article. In the same article, a woman identified as Armenia alleged that David Berg sexually abused her when she was 13 years old. His distant Jewish ancestry notwithstanding, in 1745, one of his mother's forebears, Jewish by birth but a Christian convert, moved to the American colonies and lived as a Mennonite. David Berg was outspokenly anti-Semitic, believing that the Jews were responsible for the death of Jesus, as well as the persecution of Christians in the world. In support of his views of an international Jewish conspiracy, he cited the forged protocols of the Elders of Zion, but disclaimed the label anti-Semitic. Berg predicted several apocalyptic events that did not occur. His best-known prediction was that the comet Kudatek would wreak havoc and possible destruction. This prediction was shared by others outside of the family, such as Joseph S. F. Good Savage, in the January 1974 issue of Saga magazine. He also predicted that California would immediately fall into the ocean. The Great Tribulation would begin in 1989, and the second coming of Jesus would happen in 1993. Berg lived in seclusion and apart from the main body of his followers due to his obsession with secrecy until his death. Any photos of him in the group publications had his face covered with pencil drawings, often depicting him as an arthropomorphic lion. Berg married his first wife, Jane Miller, known as Mother Eve in The Children of God, on July 22, 1944 in Glendale, California. They had four children together: Linda, known as Deborah in The Children of God; Paul, known as Aaron in The Children of God; Jonathan Emmanuel, known as Hosea in The Children of God; and Faith. Berg married his second wife, Karen Zerbe, who also went by the name Maria Berg. Berg informally adopted Ricky Rodriguez, the son of his second wife and present leader of the family, Karen Zerbe, in the 1970s and 1980s, sexually suggested photographic depictions of Rodriguez, a.k.a. DeVito, with adult caretakers were disseminated through the group by Berg and Zerbe in a child-rearing handbook known as The Story of DeVito. In January 2005, Ricky Rodriguez murdered one of the female caretakers shown in the handbook before taking his own life several hours later. Sociologist Thomas Robbins argued that Berg's leadership of the Children of God was based on charismatic authority. It is a pretty messed up situation there with the son, that he was almost like paraded around the church as if he was like the second coming. Like he was like just as big and amazing as anything. And he got older and eventually a lot of things fell apart and it all obviously went to shit when he was trying to find, I believe, his he was trying to get information on his mom because he wanted to kill the mom. And he reached out to one of his former, it wasn't a nanny, it was just like one of the many women who raised him. But also they would have sexual relations with the kids because they like believed it was okay. And she was the only one who was willing to talk to him, came to his apartment and said, you know, he started asking, you know, where is my mom? And he ends up killing her, out of rage for everything that she had done to him as well. And then everything just kind of goes to shit shortly thereafter, where then he ends up taking his own life.
This story is hard to follow in a way.
It does jump around.
Has multiple names.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's twisted and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
I know.
He's a creep.
It's like totally bizarre.
Yeah. You know, and it's just, It's like not just him, like there are other people around him that seem to be twisted.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, but you know, that's not that uncommon in this sort of story.
No.
You know,
it's unfortunately not. I mean, and the thing is you bring a child into the world of this. I mean, good luck. I mean, to that person to be able to ground themselves as an adult without a lot of mental help, you know, can it be done? Sure. But the scars are always going to be there.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like, how I'm just shocked that that things like this are allowed to exist until they, you know, break a law in some extreme way, you know, just like things like everything that we knew for years, and we still know about things like the, who are the crazy people in Topeka? Westboro.
Fred Phelps.
All that. I mean, documentaries gone in there showing what's going on and that children are being subjected to this hate and insanity. And we're just like, oh, well, it's their right because it's religion. It's fucking child abuse.
You know, that's a group of people that I've encountered multiple times.
Yeah.
And all kinds of different events and things, they just show up.
Yeah.
And it's usually not that many of them, but it always has really bothered me to see like a 7 or 8 year old holding up a sign that says God hates fags. And
yeah.
Excuse me for saying that, but that's what the signs say.
Yeah. Because they're idiots.
Yeah. And it's really bothersome.
It
and
is.
I don't get where they get their money, too, because they travel a lot.
Lawsuits.
Yeah.
Their attorneys. Well, and
one of the daughters, like a friend of mine, knew her. Like she worked for the prison system or something. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, so she had a regular job.
Yeah.
So I'm sure all her money went to, you know, doing the crazy shit they do. But I said, well, she's as bizarro as you'd think she'd be. He said, no. Like not, you know, professionally.
Yeah. It's like the wolf in lamb's clothing, you know, many of them. And then you start talking. It's like, oh, wait a second. What the hell is going on here? And but it's like they can sometimes flip a switch and just you're this normal person. And now I'm this vile, hatred filled, you know, mutant that, you know, just is going to go and, you know, dishevel the world. I just look at it going, you know, if we wouldn't be okay with a pet shelter where the shelter was sitting there and abusing the animals or screaming at them or just saying, just doing horrible things or whatever the equivalent would see would be in the world of animals. We'd be like, we're going to shut that shit down.
Right.
But if somebody's like, well, it's a religious pet, you know, thing. So really our religion tells us we need to treat the animals this way. No one would be like, oh, okay. They wouldn't. They'd be like, fuck no. You can't do that to these dogs. But yet when it comes to people and children,
it makes no sense.
It's like, well, it's their religion. They can teach them whatever. We're just willingly letting them fuck up these kids forever because it's their religion. And I don't know. I mean, then I guess you're like, well, where do you draw the line? It's like, I don't know. Hate. I mean, just extreme hate. That might be a good starting point. You can disagree. You can dislike. You can do whatever you want there. But when you start instilling extreme hate into children, that might be a place where like this
or
isn't good.
Like, why not leave the kids at home?
Yeah.
You know, one of the people in your quote with church, end quote, like one person can stay home and watch all the kids and the rest of y'all can go out and protest. I just think it's strange to have a child do that.
Yeah.
It's really bothersome. And how do you explain that to your own kids?
I don't know how you ever really can make sense of any of it. Let's continue into the story as we get into the offspring of the, this is the title of an article. It says The Offspring of Jesus Freaks. Shocking book delves into the inner mechanics of the children of God. It's in the San Jose Mercury News, October 25th of 2007. Rebecca Rose Lum wrote this. David Berg was a small-time circuit preacher whose flocks ran thin until the late 60s when the sexual revolution and the Jesus movement bloomed at once. The sex-obsessed Berg wove the two into a double helix, drawing from the remnants of hippie life. People with nothing to lose, nowhere to go, and no Christian background to serve as a compass, while in the thrall of a man who purported to live by Scripture. His Teens for Christ became the Children of God, with enclaves in California and Texas expanding into an evangelical empire across continents, yielding profit and power for the end-time prophet and his inner circle. But writer Don Latin is only so interested in what makes a self-anointed prophet run. Latin, whose book Jesus Freaks hit bookstores this month, cares more about what happens to children born into authoritarian groups, the offspring of those who voluntarily cast their lot with people like Berg. Subtitled The True Story of Murder and Madness and the Evangelical Edge, the book follows the tormented life of Ricky Rodriguez, Berg's designated prophet prince. As a longtime religion writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, Latin plumbed what happens to children in cults, including the Church of Scientology, the Moonies, the Hare Krishnas, and the Children of God, which would later be renamed the Family or the Family International. Rigorous indoctrination in each, the kids don't have the chance to grow up and be themselves, Latin said in an interview just before the book's release. There are hours and hours a day of indoctrination. In that way, the Children of God was the worst. The accumulated years of indoctrination exploded for Rodriguez in a murder-suicide in 2005 that shook Latin and compelled him to write Jesus Freaks. I was so taken aback by what drove Ricky, raised by the Family, to kill someone else and to take his own life, Latin said. He was the ultimate example of what can happen to kids when they're raised in an atmosphere of severe indoctrination. It's a really dark story, a sensational story, Lattin said. I tried to get in the mindsets of these people. The Children of God melded apocalyptic Christian evangelism with mind-boggling sexual mores. Lattin stunned readers when he first detailed the unorthodox practices of the Children of God in 2001. Berg dispatched young, attractive female followers to lure male converts through sex in a practice he called flirty fishing. He discouraged them from using birth control. Rodriguez, the first child conceived through flirty fishing, was a natural son of Berg's common-law wife, Karen Zerbe, also called Maria, and a waiter she picked up in the Canary Islands. Rodriguez was called DeVito. DeVito and Maria are going to be the end-time witnesses, Berg wrote in 1978. They're going to have such power that they can call down fire from heaven and devour their enemies. In fact, Rodriguez did devour his enemies. He left the cult, but tormented by a life of abuse, could not make a life for himself. Driven by rage, he vilified his mother in videotaped rant, stabbed one of his former nannies to death, and shot himself in 2005. More than 13,000 children were born to followers between 1971 and 2001. Women with 6, 8, 10, 13 kids are not uncommon, Lattin said. Mothers and caretakers pulled children from their beds at night to engage in sex acts with Berg in regular sharing schedules. Some kids referred to it as a scarring schedule. A poor performance yielded brutal punishment. They were made to believe their eternal salvation depended on this, Lattin said. The group once enjoyed plenty of good press. In the waning days of the Summer of Love, parents would say at least they're Christians, Lattin said. Berg died in 1994 and Zerbe took control of the organization. Grown survivors of the group have developed a deep suspicion of outsiders and adults, Lattin said, but gradually they sensed their stories were safe with the blues guitar-playing writer, part-time professor, and married stepfather, father of two girls, and they let it all out. I've never seen so many problems among kids, he mused, munching Thai food at a favorite Berkeley haunt. The Children of God was a machine to spread the ideas of David Berg, he said. The children were born to do the same thing. That was the real evil. Then they rebelled, as teens do. They'd send them off to these re-education camps, Victor camps, in Mako and other places, provided a punishing diet of enforced silence, hard labor, and sometimes even exorcisms. Amazingly, the material for some of the most wrenching passages in the book were provided courtesy of Berg in his inner sanctum. The story of DeVito recounted Rodriguez's sexual education, which Zerbe arranged with a series of nannies from the time of his infancy. David Berg was so prolific about publishing every thought that came into his mind, Lattin said. Essentially, he hung himself. A child custody trial in England brought by the grandparents of one of the children also provided voluminous documentation. Born and raised, no current members would talk to Lattin. They have issued prepared statements defending the group's charitable activities and distancing it from the sexually hyperactive past. As Lattin prepared for a round of book signings and appearances, a familiar story played out in the news. A rape trial of Warren Jeffs, president of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who arranged a marriage between a 14-year-old girl and her 19-year-old cousin in 2001. Same kind of things, Lattin said. Kids were born and raised in it. They weren't raised to be themselves. They were raised to be a part of a machine. Those who have studied other cults are lavishing praise on the book and its author. Los Angeles Times investigative reporter Tim Reitman said and praised Lattin's focus on Berg's lasting impact on the second generation. One of the insights it gives you quite well is a sense of how people can be drawn into a group, regular people who had needs that made them vulnerable to a charismatic leader. He said they were ready to accept things they wouldn't have been ready to accept the day they walked in. So how do people who begin as idealists descend into unthinkable abuse? The same way a frog will if you put it in cold water, then gradually heat the water to boil, Lattin said. You try to understand the psychological dynamics of it. He said, shaking his head, people were convinced to do some pretty reprehensible things. When you backtrack, you can see how it happened incrementally. And I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, don't you? I mean, that's how you get something like this to happen.
How all abuse is. Any abused person, like an abused woman or something, doesn't necessarily start overnight. You know, there's like a courtship period where, wow, I really believe in this relationship. this person's great. Mm-hmm. And then slowly over time, you realize what you've gotten yourself into.
Yeah. But by that point, it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even then, you could be horribly abused and still defend your abuser.
Mm-hmm.
For a number of different reasons, you know, but I love him. He'll change. He said he'll change. And it's kind of that same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when in a religion, and I don't even like using that term with this sort of thing, in a cult, that'd be better. When everyone around you is buying into the shit, like, how do you not? Especially if you're young and you're kind of brought up in it.
But yeah, no choice.
You don't know what reality's like.
Yeah.
And you can, and they convince you, even if you're an adult, that everybody else is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And how awkward, you know, because the world's going to end on this day in 1993, and then it never does. Like, so the next morning you're like, well, obviously I got that wrong. Or, I mean, how do you explain that? Whoops.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is, you bring up a child in anything and you tell them that this is what is, you know, right. Eventually, they might raise an eyebrow or two. But so many years of the indoctrination is going to be there. And I'm not knocking, you know, other religions that are not abusing people or anything like that. But, you know, of course, if that's what you're brought up in, you're going to think it's normal. And hopefully, if that's what you're doing, it's a good, healthy, nobody's hurting each other religious organization, if that's what you want to do with your family, that's fine. It's when you get, you know, and it's just all littered with abuse, those kids are going to think that's normal. And then it's connected to something even deeper. It's not just like this person or that person. No, it's your eternal salvation if you were to say anything about it. So not only can you not say anything about it and kind of move on, you're fucked forever. You know, you're going to, when you die, you're screwed because you talked negatively about this or that. And God, that's a terrifying thing for a kid.
And that's what I don't understand, though, is as a parent, how could you let your child be abused for whatever reason?
Yeah.
And in this situation, it happens frequently.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
It is. It is completely sad. That is going to wrap up this part of the program, the David Berg story. There's more, though. We're going to learn about the cult today, the Family International. We're going to dive into what's going down in the hood, yo. So if you want to hear that, become a dark sider. That's what we call them here on this show. You go to patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia and sign up there. And $5 a month gets you access to all of it, all of the final chapters of the show, all of our advanced episodes, and you help keep us on the air. Again, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. We greatly appreciate your support. So join us there for the second part as we dive in to David Berg and the cult today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.